The temperature in the city had reached an all-time high, and I didn't mean the weather. I had started getting noticed, some eyes on me. Ain't no future without the dough, and I knew I had to take matters into my own hands if I was gonna have one, gonna be a somebody. They say money's just a game to learn, a puzzle to solve. I say money just comes down to who you know, and what you can give them. To me, that's heat. I can give him heat.
This.
What?
In your pocket, that bulge.
Stay out of my pocket.
Harry, it feels like a gun.
The sanity of a brilliant mind is not measured by ordinary standards.
Where are you coming from? Everybody says, where are you coming from?
What? Who are you?
Squatting. Never mind who I am. Come on.
Big bills with a house on the hill, fly rooms, color gazelles, all materials, minerals, colorful stones, sage cover the home, to lay up in the zone and chill. No stress, every day get a check, make a colorful meal to feel zeal, stay true to the real. Breathe deep, find peace in the self, and a pistol to pill. All love in a bitch with no frills, no ills, roll round in the four wheel, God's will.
It's selling $1,000 of something that costs $1,000, or $10,000 of something that costs $100, any permutation of numbers really, as long as there's 6 zeros at the end of it. And in the digital age, I genuinely believe that this milestone is possible for many people. Maybe not for everyone, but a good number of people. If you're someone who is bold, determined, action-oriented, and you're willing to put in 3 to 5 years of effort on the right things that are valuable in today's economy, I think a lot of people could get to that $1 million run rate much sooner than they think. Let me share with you what I've learned on my own journey, from broke teacher to running a seven-figure company 5 years later, and the skill stack you could use to make your first million. Let me start with a question though. If you could develop one quality within yourself that would reliably separate you from anyone in business or otherwise, what skill do you think you would cultivate? What quality would you cultivate within yourself? To me, I would argue that energy is the number one separator of people. Too many people are low energy. They're grumpy. They're just like walking around like Scrooge, just annoyed at their life, annoyed at their obligations. Maybe they've been stuck in the same place for too long, so now they're just jaded and they're just pissed off all the time. More often than not, the people I come across, if you ask them, hey, how's it going? How are you? They won't be absolutely excited. They won't share that they're pumped about what they're working on and what they're doing. People are just sort of okay. The first idea then is that you should cultivate the quality of having extremely high energy levels. It is the number one thing that will separate you from the pack. And I've seen it time and time again. The person with good spirits, the person who comes into life excited, which is a choice, the choice to be enthusiastic about your work and your life and your mission, it is magnetic. That person will literally start attracting great opportunities to them. This is genuinely the most important part of the glow up, both monetarily and otherwise. Energy is your first wealth, and to a good degree, it is a choice. I used to be a lot grumpier than I am now. To be honest, I was just like drinking too much, and so it made it very difficult for me to be in good spirits. And I would take so much in my life for granted. The fact that my food tastes really good, that the weather in Minnesota is good 5 months out of the year. I mean, it's only 5 months, but at least it's not like the 30 long nights of Alaska. I was always kind of low-key annoyed and upset, and everything felt like a burden. And today, even if I get something like a bad night of sleep or something in my life isn't optimal, I tend to be in good spirits. And it has played no small part in my cascading success with money in the last year. In fact, this idea is so important that I want to share with you 5 ideas that could be helpful in this regard. The first, be a robot who does. It's a term I made up, robot mode, but I think you should fill up your calendar with stuff that you should be doing, stuff that is good for you to be doing to make progress with your career, but also your relationships, hanging out with friends, hobbies, whatnot. Fill up your calendar with useful stuff and then just do it. It sounds really obvious, but do what your calendar says and do it as if you're a robot. Because if you don't, if you actually listen to your mind about how you should proceed with any given task, I don't know why it is, but pretty much before 90% of things, the mind says, oh, this is not a good idea for this right now. It's not a good time to do this. You put it on your calendar, like a previous version of you sought to do this thing, but as soon as any endeavor is before you, for some reason, the mind often is like, oh, okay, we have to do this. I've found that it's often useful to tell myself, I am an emotionless robot. I live in a nihilistic world that has no meaning, but it doesn't matter because I have no feelings and I should just go about my robot ways. I should do what my programming tells me to do. And then as soon as I start doing the things that I set on my calendar, I feel happy. I feel good. And it gives me energy. The fallacy is that we think we need energy to do stuff, but so often when you do stuff, it gives you energy. The perfect example of this for me is running. I enjoy running. I really believe in it, actually. But sometimes before I go running, I feel tired. My mind tells me I'm under-recovered. fuck Minnesota. This place is way too cold. I don't want to go outside today and try to get this run in. It makes no sense for me to do this. You know what? It has an antagonistic effect with muscle building. So if I run, I'm going to be small and ugly and no woman will ever love me in the long run. And then somehow I lace up, even if it's cold and dark, and I start the run. And as soon as I start the run, I feel great. I feel absolutely fantastic. And in fact, in March of this year, I ran something like 150 miles all outside. Many of those days, it was like 10 to 30 degree weather where it was snowing very violently. And once I started running, it didn't feel cold. I felt fantastic. So when you start doing things, you feel great. Which brings me to the second sub-principle, which is, in fact, running. I think a lot more people should be running. There's a lot of gym bros out there who think, you know, cardio kills their gains. And it is true to like a small degree. Yes, technically it has an antagonistic effect to lifting, but it's not going to hurt your gains that much. And I found the compounding benefits of being outside in the sun, running, getting sunlight, sleeping better at night. It actually is better for your gains overall. And especially running gives you energy. I don't know what it is, but a sweet spot number of miles, like between 3 and 7, or maybe up to 8 miles, you actually still can feel fresh afterwards if you build up slowly. And you just are sharper, you have a clear brain, you become more energized and refreshed. It even makes you cuter. Like your skin starts to look better. I think maybe there's just toxins leaving your body. Maybe you're just oxygenating yourself up more. Nothing has actually had a more profound effect on my mental health and overall well-being and energy than running. This is the hack. Lifting weights, while it is awesome, does not give you energy or a sharper brain. In fact, it does the opposite. If you do like a really hard day of lifting, if you do a brutal leg day with my trainer, you will not produce any thoughts for the next several days. You will live your life in a haze. And really what it is going to feel like is you woke up from a coma 2 days later. But running doesn't do that. Running makes you feel happy. It makes you feel fresh. Not everyone is inherently a runner, but you know what? I didn't think I was either. Like a year ago, a year and a half ago, I couldn't even run a mile under like 9 minutes and 45 seconds. You improve, you progress in it slowly and you get better. And I will say it has been one of the most energizing qualities that I've cultivated in my life. The third sub-principle then is don't take on unnecessary obligations. This one is fucking huge. If you don't want to do something that isn't a responsibility that you absolutely have to do, if you don't want to do something, just get out of that commitment. If you do stuff that you don't want to do with your life, it will kill you inside. It will make you hate your life. It'll suck up all the energy and inspiration from your life. But a lot of us, I don't know why, we're people pleasers. We say yes to things that we don't feel like doing. I've been doing this all my life where, I don't know, a roommate of mine might invite me to some party or some gathering with a bunch of people I don't care about. And I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll go. Or in the past, I would be pressured to like drink. In America, if you don't drink, that's like the one drug you can abuse where people think it's weird. If you're not engaging, they think you have a problem if you're not doing it. So I would just drink out of peer pressure. Even if it was one or two beers, it would kill me inside. And it has been one of the tougher aspects of my self-improvement journey to tell people to fuck off. Not quite in those words, but if I don't feel like doing something, if I don't have to do something and I don't want to do it, I will try to get out of it. Or I'll just say, hey, I'm not free. I'll say anything. I might just say, hey, I don't want to do this. I don't care about you. Fuck off. It doesn't come across quite so mean-spirited, but it is such a freeing thing to either take care of your responsibilities. There are, of course, things we have to do in life that, you know, it is work. Like there is work to be done and you got to do it. You don't necessarily feel overjoyed to do it, but it's a responsibility. But then it's either a responsibility or something that you are inspired to do, something that is like a hell yes for you. If you only have those two things in your life, then your energy levels will be significantly higher and your internal sense of being about your work and about your life will be that much greater. This brings me to the fourth idea, which is sleep. Sleep is like the single most important thing ever. Unfortunately, I put this a little lower on my sub-principles list because I struggle with sleep. I have poor sleep hygiene. I always have. I've always had a bit of insomnia. It often feels like at 10 p.m., that's when my mind wakes up and starts to be creative and starts to dream and have hope and possibility. Usually around 2 to 4 p.m. is when complete desolation exists in my mind. I think there's no hope. Really, that's when I should be falling asleep. But around 9 or 10 p.m., that's when I'm like, the inspiration comes back and I feel like doing things again. So I don't always have the best sleep hygiene, but I have improved my sleep quite a bit. And that has come from cutting out alcohol to a very large degree and also filling up my calendar, filling up my day with a lot of good stuff. Waking up early, getting after it all day, and then sleeping at night, like making the decision to sleep at some point at night. Most nights I fall asleep around 11:30 and wake up at 7 now. A very reasonable schedule for a guy who doesn't have great sleep hygiene, but prioritize your sleep as much as possible and try to cut out those things that hurt your sleep. Blue light at night, drinking, racing thoughts. Try to calm yourself down and make sleep like a thing you prioritize, because of course it's important. And then the last thing is stay high vibration. This is a choice. This is actually the heart of the entire first principle, because I think to a good degree, having high energy is a choice. Just choose to keep your spirits high. Play some Hillary Duff and make out with your fucking cat. If you're a guy, you should cultivate sexual discipline. You should not ejac all the time, okay? If you've got this engine and you got oil in the engine, I don't know how cars work, but you've got this engine with oil, don't have oil spills all the time, right? Because then you can't drive the car as well. If you keep the oil of your engine inside of you, instead of having oil spills all the time, you'll feel angry, you'll feel horny, and that's a powerful combo for being productive and getting after it. It's a winning combination, my boy. The inspired person brings magic into a room, and a state of internal inspiration can create value out of seemingly nothing. I've belabored this first point, but high energy is the single most important quality you need to cultivate and nurture. Not just for $1 million, but really to live the life that you're seeking to live. It'll change your life. The second principle then that I want to share with you is hack the day job through a high income skill. Unlike a lot of complainers and naysayers online, I actually think 9-to-5 jobs are fantastic. There's no way I would have made progress with my business or any of my goals if I didn't have a 9-to-5 job first. In fact, I would argue my life fully began with a 9-to-5 job. When I first got my solid remote paying job, that's when my life really began. If you're starting out in life and you want to be on that 3-to-5 year trajectory to becoming a millionaire in a semi-ordinary way, get a job and love it. Bring that same enthusiasm that I talked about in the last idea, bring that to your job. So many people complain about corporate politics, meetings, mundane tasks. Listen, all of these things are there. In a corporate position, if you're working for someone else, there are going to be inefficiencies or things you roll your eyes at. But you can also find a job that isn't so annoying by learning a high income skill. I know that good, well-paying, relatively headache-free jobs are out there because I had one. There's no way I would have made such strides on the way to becoming a millionaire without my day job. The goal with the day job is to eventually, I would say within 3 months, 6 months, or even up to a year, make between 70 and 100K per year while having a relatively chill lifestyle where you're not super stressed. Unlike doctors who, while in the residency, they're like overworked and extremely stressed all the time. What you want is that sweet spot sort of position where you're getting enough. You're not fully worried about like how you're gonna pay rent or anything, but your lifestyle is kind of chill. If you focus on learning things that are valuable in today's economy, you can absolutely do this. Some skills that I think are worth investing in, learning really well, these could be video editing, CRM technologies, coding, project management, high ticket sales, and trade skills, things like becoming an electrician in a pretty short amount of time. The foundational point here is to get a base salary that pays you well, but that doesn't kill you in terms of workload. It'll give you a disposable income, it'll take off some of your stress, and it'll free up your mental faculties to search for the real opportunity. Which brings me to principle 3, learn a skill that is authentic to your life. In his book, How to Get Rich, Felix Dennis calls the start of figuring out a business model, the search. And he labels 3 factors involved in the search. These are inclination, aptitude, and then fate. I think it's very cool actually that he starts with inclination because your inclinations do count. Here's the thing about value and most people in the modern world. The things that you're interested in, those things that you've sort of worked on or have had an affinity for and you've practiced to some degree, your knowledge, your interest in those things has value. To our parents, value existed inside of a bubble. Value was something they could tangibly understand, like becoming a mechanical engineer or a doctor. Pretty much every immigrant parent just wants their kid to become a doctor. It's not because being a doctor is the only way to produce value, but it's because to their simple minds, it is the most immediate way to produce value. It's such a tangible return on value. Like someone is sick, this person theoretically heals an illness. That's valuable. But in the modern world, the conventional roots of value are not the only ones that people will pay for. The ability to provide value exists across the entire range of human experience. So maybe in your spare time, you really wanted to figure out how to get hot girls. There's value in teaching people how to do that or how to find the man of your dreams. Or maybe you cook extremely well. You just naturally developed an inclination for cooking. Or you're a vegan and you're a bodybuilder and you figured out your own specific meal plan for putting on size, reducing the amount of processed foods you eat, and feeling great, living well. Maybe you were lonely in a period of your life, and then you hacked how to build a social circle. And you, in fact, developed your own inherent philosophy around how to make a lot of friends, or how to throw dope parties, or how to even get into very cool events. Maybe you're really good at traveling. Like, you're one of those people who has like the Amex card, or you know, you've tried every single travel credit card and you know how the point systems works. You know which hotels are the best in which city. You have this whole system around how to vacation well or dressing well. You're someone who dresses extremely stylishly and people always compliment you on that. There's value in being able to teach people how to be as stylish as you are. But you have to kind of investigate your affinities, your inclinations first, and see which ones you have an aptitude in. As Dennis writes, an understanding and passionate affinity with any subject in combination with effective management, sales, and marketing techniques could well provide a tailor-made solution to the search. Cherish your inclinations and affinities. Now, the reason I mentioned the day job thing before is because usually it takes a bit of time, it takes a little bit of living to figure out your affinities, your inclinations, and then it takes capital to like invest in them. So if you got really stylish, it's probably because you had the money to spend on some clothes. So finding the skill that is true to your life is gonna take time. And so getting a solid day job and staying in it for a little bit of time is useful because it gives you time and leverage to live a life where you can do stuff and learn stuff. And at this stage, you don't need to make like a product or service quite yet. In fact, I think a lot of people, they want to jump into the product or service or like entrepreneurship way too early. It's like they're trying to hack their way into like business success, when really it is something that progresses naturally and authentically, considering where you're at in life. And yeah, there are YouTube videos online about starting a business over a weekend, you know, drop shipping or whatnot, and like climbing up to $1 million run rate in just a few months. But I kind of have to call BS. Like, most of those people who make such videos or preach advice about quickly making money, starting a major business model, starting a big company in a short amount of time, it usually doesn't work out for most people. It in fact is better to build it up slowly. So essentially, find a thing that is yours. This affinity, this competitive advantage, eventually will turn into your $1 million business. And even if you haven't productized or developed the exact whatever model of how you're going to give this value to other people, you should also journal and write. You should figure out like, hey, how has this worked out for me? You know, you'll probably find you naturally end up doing these things if you learn something really well. And so you can essentially create this system that works for you and create your own philosophy around it. And then maybe just start considering very gently how you could bring this philosophy to other people's lives to give them the same value that you are getting from your thing. The next idea then is really important, and that is attract dope people into your life who are absolute killers. I'm actually not sure how this happens, but it happens rather organically. It goes in this order: become awesome yourself. If you're someone who cultivates a very high, energetic, magnetic personality within yourself just through habits and through choice, the choice to be optimistic and positive and growth-oriented, and then you also get a high income skill, which turns into a job that gives you a passive income, and then you start developing an interest that could be an answer to your search, you naturally will attract such people into your life. I couldn't attract very successful people into my life until I worked on these things myself and created that constitution within myself. And in fact, now, every single person on my team, I would argue they're like the best version of their responsibilities. Like Thomas, my editor, I'd say he's like one of the best editors on YouTube. I feel embarrassed saying that, Thomas, but leave it in, will you? The people need to know, they would agree. Axel, my now main videographer, is excellent at lighting, composition. He wasn't there inherently, but he had that mindset of wanting to improve, and he had that attitude. Everyone on the team did. They had this attitude of just wanting to put out their best work, not even for anyone, but just rather themselves. And so when you are that person, it's a lot easier to recognize that in other people and then form connections with them. Maybe you're lifting at the gym and then you spot some gym bro, and then you end up chatting. You realize you both, I don't know, like riding motorcycles together. You start hanging out. He becomes a friend. When you make this kind of connection, when you have this sort of association, this is the only action step you need to do. Tell them what you are working on. That's it. Say, hey, this is my job. This is what I do. But what I'm really passionate is about this thing. And actually, I was sort of curious, like, could I teach this thing to other people? That's it. I don't know how it happens, but the gaps start to get filled in. In fact, when I was writing the script, I was considering, what is that $1 million skill stack? Like, what skills should you learn in what order? But if I break down what I did with my own life, I didn't learn every single skill. I knew, for instance, that for online business, copywriting is important, you know, making a landing page, learning sales and marketing or business ops, location manager for some of the shoots that I do. All of this is important, but I didn't learn all of these things in order for myself. What actually happened is that I learned one thing, and I set a small intention And then people started coming into my life who were fantastic. Maybe not fantastic even from the get-go, but they became fantastic. The first example of this was actually Vincent. 5 years ago, I started my first corporate job at Thomson Reuters, and I ran into a friend from college and high school, actually. We went to high school and college. We were never really friends in those eras of our life, but I ran into him at this very like mundane beige corporate job. I was an SEO specialist. He worked in UX design. And we started hanging out. I told him about my interest in wanting to make an actor's demo reel. At the time, that was my biggest goal. And he didn't really know how to use a camera that well, although he had done a little bit of photography for some of his friends. But we started hanging out. We started talking. And he actually ended up shooting one of the scenes in my actor's demo reel. And slowly, in fact, we started making YouTube videos together. And my thumbnails improved slightly. My inherent, even slightly, interest in composition and color and B-roll or whatnot started on a Canon Rebel T6i with Vincent 5 years ago. And now he's full-time with me as like a business operations manager. So these things escalate when you have people in your life who you bring into your circle. And that's a very exciting part of this whole thing. Same thing happened with Manoj later on. Because of my association with him, my understanding of online business and marketing improved. Also, these weren't tactical conversations. It wasn't networking. Oftentimes, it was us hanging out on a Friday night and talking about our interests, our inclinations, our affinities. And slowly, like, these conversations led towards growth and us helping each other out, becoming collaborators. Your collaborators will become your talent, who will cover your skill gaps. And it is at this point in your business money journey where life starts to get very exciting. The last idea then is slowly work your way to launching something that could have scale. If you can sell something to one other person, other than just your time. Your time can be included as a part of it, but sell them something other than just your time. Then you have an opportunity to scale and you have an opportunity to make like the big bucks. But to start out, to get to that thing that scales, first do the things that don't scale. You build your brand one person and one interaction at a time. You will naturally produce the minimal viable product or service because you have no other choice. So don't worry about reading the Lean Startup or whatnot, being like, what's my minimal viable product? It will happen naturally. And then try solving the problem that you solve for yourself for just one paid client. Initially, this could mean selling your time, but later on, this may translate to digital products, physical products, apps, ebooks, a coaching program, or it could even translate into other people's labor and having a more traditional business where you run a video agency or a car detailing business. You don't need to throw all of your resources at solving some random problem. You don't need to attack this like, oh, what's my $1 million company idea going to be? Instead, arrive at it from an authentic place for you. You can't jump through the stages in business. Later on, the skills or the talent that are important to acquire for where you're at, they will naturally emerge. I honestly wish I didn't waste so much time in my early days reading business books because I couldn't apply any of that knowledge. But eventually, you know, when it made sense for me to learn copywriting to make a landing page, I took a copywriting course. And so when you work on the next problem that makes sense, the next small strategic goal, you actually naturally realize, oh, now I need to learn this. Oh, now we need to hire for this thing. And you slowly find yourself arriving at a business model that works. And then the game of making that business grow will become one of the great joys of your life. Before closing out, I want to take a quick pause to talk about the Captain Sinbad YouTuber coaching program. Essentially, there are 7 attributes for succeeding on YouTube. There's 7 different, I guess, principles, big ideas that people need to work on. And any one of those steps could bottleneck you. Those are market research, essentially figuring out your content strategy, your titles. There's making thumbnails. There's video scripting, revising your script / learning how to research and make your script stronger. This happens by building in more authenticity, more authority, and being more emotionally connected with your words. There's rehearsing the script. There's a level of like acting, but not acting, coming from a true place inside your video. Recording the A-roll, recording the video, or recording it in whatever format makes sense for your channel. And then lastly, editing for comprehension. Any one of these steps, if you don't know how to do well, it will bottleneck you. So for instance, if inside the video, you are very good and you're very magnetic, you're actually a personality on camera, but you don't know how to script, so you don't know how to present your ideas elegantly and efficiently, you will bottleneck your growth. Or if you're actually good at scripting, but you don't know how to package your video into a title or thumbnail that works for the platform, you will severely bottleneck yourself. So I found, as we've now worked into 5 cohorts of the academy, and now we're adding on cohorts 6 and 7, I found that a lot of people have talent online. They have talent to tell stories or video on platforms like YouTube, but they don't know what their bottlenecks are. And so they actually stifled themselves, not for like months, but rather years, like 3 to 4 years, someone could hold themselves back and never climb over 200, 300 subscribers. And then as soon as they start working on what the bottlenecks are and starting to ease those up, getting from like a 2 out of 10 level of something up to a 5 out of 10 level over 5 weeks or 2 months, suddenly their video views go from like 50 views a video to 200, to 2000, to 20,000, and eventually even bigger than that. And in fact, because of this, there has always been at least one or two people inside every single cohort of our group coaching academies who has broken 200,000 views on their very first video. Sometimes it's been 700,000, 800,000 views, because all they had was one bottleneck and they cleaned it up and boom, their video took off. So it's very important to know where to invest your time, where to invest your energy in the platform, and have that long-term perspective of working on all of the bottlenecks and get better at storytelling, efficiency, authenticity, all of these qualities inside your content so that it is high quality. And when you can do that, you will grow. You don't actually need an inherently big audience to grow. If you can learn how the platform works and learn where to invest your energies and make a commitment to get better at them, people get results. So if growing on YouTube is something that you're interested in, and on top of that, building out a business backend, we'd love to chat with you. There's an application form in the description box that you can check out. And if we think you're a good fit, we'd love to chat further. To close out, if I had to put it simply, money is a game. I don't want to come at you in this video as an authority. I hope it didn't come across that way, like some sort of business finance guru, because I'm honestly not that person. I actually haven't known about money or success with money for most of my life. And even as little as 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I wasn't that financially successful. But your efforts do compound. And one thing I've realized is that in today's economy, in today's digital world, things happen very dramatically and very quickly. Scale can happen very quickly because of the internet, because of what it means to make money in the modern world. And value, especially value, value is created from more than just these positions that our parents told us this is the right way to proceed. Like, so much of what you bring to the table that is in fact an inner constitution of yourself has value. And then you find that even when you do make the $1 million or get to that $1 million run rate, it wasn't actually about the money. It was about having a life that felt free, having a life that had a sense of momentum. Because once you get to one milestone, you are going to get excited about the next. And you're probably going to be like not fully satisfied. You're grateful, but you're not satisfied. But that's okay, because you've now uncovered this key to produce value at scale with something that you love. And it's a delightful feeling. It's like there's anxiety, there's stress, there's ambition, there's excitement, there's joy. It's a delightful process. And I'm very grateful that I never gave up when I was 25, when I was broke and tired. And for months on end, when it felt like I would never be successful, I'm just kind of glad that I kept going. And really, that's the biggest thing I want to leave for anyone watching this. It feels very recent to me to feel like I was struggling with money and feeling like I could never get out of it. But a lot can happen in just a handful of years. So stay in the game, because I believe in you and greatness is coming. We'll catch you soon. I need a dollar.